And we're going to be looking at the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and what it means to us personally and practically. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn in Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look in beginning in verse 13. Luke 24, verse 13, and it's a familiar story for some of us, and it's a wonderful, encouraging story, because here you're going to meet two followers of the Lord Jesus who are discouraged. They are disheartened. They are despondent. And we can easily put ourselves in that place, because we all know something of being despondent or being discouraged or being confused. And they have just been to a place in Jerusalem where there has been great fanfare and celebration of this Jesus. But within a week, they've taken him. They have tried him. They have found him guilty of treason. They have crucified him. They have buried him. And he's gone, and their hopes are dashed. They are confused and they are bewildered. So we want to take up the story of these two men, and we want to see ourselves in this picture. Because there are times I am despondent. There are times I lose heart. There are times I'm confused. I think God should do something. He should do it different. And it seems that he's quiet and he's not acting at all. And he's left me out here to hang and to dry and for the wind to carry me away. I'm like chaff. But all along he's working. And we'll see the fruit of the problem and the root of the problem. But most of all, what we'll see is the love of Christ for these men and the love of Christ for you. Luke 24, and we begin reading in verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you were walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleophas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of all the things which have happened here in these days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, illumine the word to us. Help us to understand. Give us the hope of the resurrection. For our ashes, Lord Jesus, we want your joy. For our doubts and our despair, Lord, we take your truth. For our unbelief, we pray for the strengthening of the Spirit to choose to believe what you've said. And may we dance for joy in our hearts, because though the earth be shaken, this we know: our foundation is safe and secure because of he who sits upon the throne this evening. Lord Jesus, you are very welcome. Not only welcome, Lord Jesus, we ask you would illumine our hearts, that you would cause our hearts to burn. In Jesus' name, amen. What a wonderful title for a conference, Men with Burning Hearts. And when I heard that straight away, I thought, oh no, I'm in trouble. I don't have a burning heart. Lord help. Where should I go but Luke 24, and began to look at it, and you think of the Lord Jesus. And the first thing I want to see as you go through this passage with me is, number one, Jesus deliberately chose to seek out despondent followers. Of all the places Jesus could have went, he could have went back to Herod, he could have went back to Pilate, he could have went to the religious and said, look who's here. But oh no, he went to seek out his despondent followers. He could have appeared to the multitudes who mocked him on the cross, and he could save others, save yourself if God is pleased with you. But oh no, he went to seek out two of his despondent followers. He could have appeared to the soldiers who had taken his clothes, who had given him an exchange robe, who had mocked him, who had slapped him, who had beat him, who had buried a crown of thorns into his head. But oh no, he doesn't need to go to them. He's got two despondent followers. He could have appeared to the soldiers who nailed his hands and feet and hung him on that cross. But oh no, not to the murderers, not to the soldiers, not to the religious. He deliberately sought out two despondent followers. This is a point for you to dwell on this evening. If you are despondent, if you are in despair, the good news of the glorious gospel, Jesus will not discard you. Often we discard things we no longer value. We discard cups when we have coffee in our cups. When we have drink in the coffee, we discard the cup. We don't need it. It's of no value. And often we see God that when we hit tough times, that God somehow discards us. He wants nothing to do with us. He disowns us, and it's a lie. But oh no, Jesus will seek out the despondent soul. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and you will see He cares for you. So the first thing we see, Jesus deliberately chose to seek out the despondent disciples. And he goes to, they're walking on a road to Emmaus, and Emmaus is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So he comes up, and he comes alongside them, and he asks them, you know, what things they're talking about. And look in verse 4. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He said, remember. We are often prone to forget what God has said. We are often prone to remember our sin, but we fail to remember that God has said you are cleansed. We are often prone to remember the sins and failings of others, but we forget that God has nailed their sin to the cross. 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 times Peter says, I write these things to remind you. Why did he write to remind? Because like them and like me, I often forget. It's not new truth I need, I just need to be reminded. So he reminds them that Jesus had spoken while he was in Galilee that he must be delivered, and that he would be crucified, and the third day he would rise again. And what was their response? Well, verse 9. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told all these things to the disciples. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Idle tales or idle talk is a medical term, and it speaks of those in hysteria or delirious. They kept on distrusting the story of the women. Jesus had told them, I'm going to die, buried, raised again. The women go to the tomb. It's empty. The apostles affirm it, but these men look at the situation. They have forgot to remember what Jesus has said. They lean to their own understanding. They are sad. They are scurries. They are in gloom. Because what? We had hoped he would be the one that would deliver us, but he is dead. It's the third day. These women are delirious. Good point. Side note. Women are not delirious, especially your wife. Never say she is. Okay? You might think it, but don't say it to her. Okay, all right. Since it's a men conference, we can get away with that one. Okay, we won't be playing that to any wives, will we, man? Amen? So here we go. Jesus, he comes up to them. Look what he does. He goes with them. Here's a beautiful picture. He's been raised from the dead. He's not in for a quick minute, but he walks with them. He's going to walk with them because he wants to walk them out of this despair. Jesus will come and walk with you in your despair and your doubts and your fears and you're failing to trust him. But he's going to walk you out. And he's not in a hurry. And in verse 17 it says, and they stood still as he talked to them. And they looked sad. They were feeling down. It's the only time in the New Testament that word sad that's written here is used. They had no delight or joy because they had failed to believe God's prophecies in its entirety. One of them, verse 18, Cleopas answered and said to Jesus, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of these things which have happened here in these days? He couldn't believe what he was hearing. In light of all that was happening, Jesus was the center of attention in Jerusalem. Here's someone who doesn't know what's going on. He's just, what? Where have you come from? And here is a wonderful truth for those of us who are reaching out to a brother who's in despair. Look what Jesus does. He says, what things? He asks a question. And he draws out from Cleopas' heart what is in his heart. Listen, we had hoped this was going to be the one. And so you ask people questions. Allow them to talk it out. You might know the answer, but let them bring it out. So we see in verse 22, but also some of the women amazed us, they said. They were at the tomb early in the morning. They did not find his body. They came saying that, and they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Verse 24, some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had said, but him they did not see. There was the witnesses that seen him alive and heard him speak. The testimony of angels, not good enough. The testimony of an empty tomb, not good enough. The testimonies of the scripture, not good enough. The testimony of Jesus himself that said he would rise from the dead, not good enough. They were cemented in gloom, sadness of heart, unbelief, and with it came confusion. The fruit of the problem is they were sad, discouraged. The root of the problem, verse 25, he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. The word there, foolish men, means without sense, without understanding. The root of the problem was within their hearts. They were slow of heart. It's a word that speaks of someone who was dull, so slow to comprehend or to act. The root of the problem, they would not believe what God had said. I often look at my own despair and despondency, and it can be traced that I do not believe what God has said. And so I walk in sadness. So I walk in hopelessness. So I walk in despair. But like these men, Jesus walks with me. Because he wants to walk me through the despair back into the reality of hope through the resurrection. And it says that all they could not understand but parts of the prophecies. He said all that the prophets have said. You see, they didn't believe at all. And this is what we do. We come to some of the scriptures and we believe that, but we don't take the promises of God. When he says, my God shall supply all your needs, we say, yes, I can say that when the seasons are good, but not when I'm facing the Red Sea in front of me and Pharaoh's army behind me. Oh no, I can't step in no water and believe God. Why? It's too much, God. There must be another way. In John 6, when they wanted to feed the multitudes, and Jesus said, you feed them. And the first guy, the accountant, he said, 6 months' wages wouldn't be enough. And the second guy said, hold it, man, my faith's a little greater than that. He said, there's a kid here, some loaves, some fish. And then he said this, what's that for so many? But verse 6 of chapter 6 says, Jesus tested them, for he himself knew what he was going to do. In every trial you find yourself in, I find myself in, know this, Jesus knows what he's going to do. And he says in verse 25, to believe everything and necessary, the emphasis on the passage in these two words, was it not necessary? The very things that disturbed and troubled them about the death of Jesus were the strongest proof he was the Messiah, God's promised one, who would come and rescue and deliver his people from the consequences and the penalty of sin. The trouble with the Jewish religious leaders in those days, and you'll see it in the Old Testament as they read it, they saw the glory, the victory of the Messiah. They could not put the fact together that he must suffer. They saw Israel as suffering, but not the Messiah. And Jesus' way is to get to the glory, you've got to go through the suffering. And so they couldn't understand the cross. To those who were perishing, the Bible said, it is foolishness, where we get our English word, moronic, moron. How can it be of any significance that somebody is crucified to a tree and it's going to make a difference in my life? So they'd given them the word, but it wasn't good enough. And what does Jesus do? Oh, this is so beautiful. What does Jesus do? He gives them himself. Jesus gives them himself. Verse 27, then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. To those who are despondent and in despair, what is the thing they need most? They need him. They need him. And so he comes and he presents himself with the despondent followers. And he walks a little. And he talks a little. And he asks them questions. And then it's as though he unveils, he pulls back the curtain, he begins to explain the Old Testament to them. He begins to explain to them passages, perhaps in Genesis, like where one would be raised up to bruise the head of the serpent. Like Exodus, where one would be raised up who would deliver the people from bondage. Like Leviticus, one who would satisfy all the priestly requirements, and he would go through it. And this one must suffer, and this one must die, but this one will be gloriously raised again. And he begins to reveal himself in all the scriptures. And he opens their mind to understand. And a great prayer is, God, open my mind to understand your word when I come to it. And please help me see your son. Because, Lord, I can have devotions and I don't see height nor tail of your son. It's like the church in Revelation. It says in Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's speaking to the church. Knock, knock. Who's there? Jesus. What does he want? Doesn't he know we're having church? He's on the outside trying to get in to have fellowship with them, have a relationship with them. They're having church. We can have church without Jesus. But what do the gloomy and the sad and the despairing and the confused and the unbelieving believer need? What do they need? They need him to come alongside them. Open up his word. Often when I get despairing, I run from his word. Instead of going toward his word, I've got to learn to renew my mind. No, no. Head to the word. Romans 15:4, with perseverance, these things were written, that with the encouragement of the scripture, you might have hope. So run to the word. Let Jesus reveal himself as he opens your mind. And what's going to happen? He's going to walk with you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to reveal himself. He's going to give you the scriptures, give you understanding. And what will happen? Well, the day was nearly over. What a beautiful picture. Dreams shattered. The cross is seen to that. Delirious women telling of empty tombs. Angels and apostles saying Jesus was not there. He comes. And it looks like he's going to pass them by. Verse 28. And he approached the village where they were going. He acted as though he would go further. But they urged him. And that word urge is a strong word, a compelling word with courteous words. Please stay with us. Please stay with us. In the ancient world, it was dangerous to travel by night due to robbers and obstacles in the darkness of the night. And this man who they had walked with, this stranger who they didn't know, all of a sudden they wanted him to stay. And so he looked as though he was going to go, and then he stayed. And he did something that would not have happened in that society. He goes into the home. Verse 30, when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Only in that society, only the head of the home, only a father would take the bread and break it. No one would break the bread but the head of the home. Jesus is the head of all heads. He's the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings. He enters into the home. He breaks the bread. All of a sudden, they understand the stranger is the resurrected Christ, and they see him and he's gone. And it says this, look at this. He was speaking to them. And look at this. They're speaking to one another in verse 31. Then their eyes were opened. They recognized him and he vanished from their sight. They recognized verse 32. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us? While he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us, was not our hearts burning speaks of what they felt during the whole time of walking with the stranger and talking with the stranger as he revealed the scriptures to them. They found out the stranger was the resurrected Christ and their hearts burned. What is needed for my cold, unbelieving, desponding and despairing heart? I need Jesus to walk with me. I need to run to the scriptures, not away. I need to ask him to open up his word. And as he reveals himself to me in the scriptures, will not my heart burn? And what is the consequence when your heart burns? There is not a class on evangelism. There are no messages on evangelism. Look what happens. This is so good. They recognize him. Verse 33. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them. Now hold on a minute. You've just walked 7 miles. It's nighttime. Let's be realistic about this. You go out, it's in the dark. We got wolves out there. This thing can wait. Oh no. When your heart burns, nothing can wait. We got to go tell somebody. So the problem is not evangelism. The problem is my heart. My heart's not burning. I've not been to the scriptures. I've not been to the Savior to say I'm despondent. I'm confused. I don't understand the way you deal with things. I don't believe what you say. I've got a problem. This is the fruit, my despair and my fears. The root is my heart. Jesus, forgive and cleanse me. Walk with me through your word. Open my mind to understand. Cause my heart to burn and I will be up and I will be gone and I will be away telling them Jesus the Christ is alive. Isn't that good? Now watch this. This will bless your heart. So all of a sudden, they get to verse Verse 34, saying, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their what? Experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. One reason we don't relate to people and share with people, we have no experience of meeting with the risen Lord. How can you talk about someone you haven't walked with? You're guessing. You're repeating what someone else has said, but no, they related their experiences. And Hebrews 10 says, do not abandon the assembly of the brethren, as is the habit of some, but when we get together, do three things. Love one another, do good to one another, encourage one another, motivated by what? The day of the Lord. You will see Him where He's coming. We are motivated by His return. They were motivated by His resurrection to go and tell others of their experience. My dear friend Jack Smith, 33 years later, after coming to the Lord, he still cries. He said as though it was yesterday, what is wrong with the man? Can't he get over it? 30 years after his conversion, Paul writes these words in Philippians 3:8 and 3:10. My master passion, what is it, Paul? Church planting, oh no. Evangelism, oh no. Well, what is it? That I might know Him. Isn't that good? The burning heart has a passion. It's to know Jesus Christ, and it's to go and tell others of Jesus Christ. And so we gather together, we love one another, we do good to one another, we encourage one another, that we may go forth together with burning hearts to tell one another and tell the lost, Jesus Christ is alive. There is hope in the resurrection. So perhaps this evening, you find yourself discouraged, disheartened. You find yourself confused. You find yourself maybe trying to deal with God on a merit system. God, I've done the best I can and I'm out of a job. God, I've done the best I can and look what's happening with my child. And now all of a sudden you've gone into a work salvation. God owes you nothing, but He's given you His Son. And He wants you to come. Cast all your cares on Him because He really genuinely cares for you. And when you doubt it, you go back and you read in Galatians 6, Paul said this, Galatians 6:14, but may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said this, blessed praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Oh, Jesus will not discard you if you're down tonight. He will not disown you. He will walk with you because He wants to walk you out of the despair and the confusion. And He's going to give you Himself. He's going to give you His Word. And He wants to open that mind of yours and cause that heart to burn once again. That all of a sudden, like Jack Smith, 33 years later, man, you're still telling people about Jesus. Not because you've been to some evangelism explosion. No, no. You've had a burning experience with Jesus, the resurrected Christ, who exploded from the grave. Let's finish with this little song. Listen to the words of this. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior. And life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we will follow Him there. Over us sin no more had dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. So you may be walking tonight in despair. But the good news is, the resurrected Christ is not too busy to go somewhere else. He will walk with you. He will bring you to His Word. He will let you see Himself in the Scriptures and open your mind. And your heart will begin to burn. And just like them, that very night, you've got to tell someone about Jesus. Not because you have to, but the love of Christ constrains you. That He who died for my sin, was buried in my place, has risen, and I am declared right. There is hope through the resurrection for the despondent soul. Let's pray. Holy, holy, holy are You, Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Lord Jesus, You are the friend of sinners. You do not reject or cast away the despondent or the confused or the unbelieving follower. But Lord, You come to us so graciously and so tender and draw out of our heart our problems and our cares. And Lord Jesus, You come to us and You walk with us. You have time for us and You sit with us. And when You break the bread and You open up our word to our minds where we understand it and we have fellowship with You, Lord Jesus, Oh God, our hearts burn afresh and anew. And Lord, we cannot help but tell others of your wonderful resurrection, Lord Jesus, and we have hope. So Father, for those men tonight who may walk despondent, may walk confused, may walk in unbelief and misappropriating the scriptures. Oh sweet Jesus, I thank you that you love them. You will walk with them, that you might walk through this situation with them, that they might go and tell others, yes, Jesus Christ is alive. Father, we ask for burning hearts, for Jesus' sake, amen.